opened this mini-series last week entitled Victorious in an Evil World. Today will be part two in that mini-series. Last week we laid some groundwork for this mini-series. We opened with reading the account of creation from the first chapter of Genesis. Then we went to chapter 3 and looked at the origin of sin or evil in the world that we live in, what it originated from. And because that term original sin comes from that, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God because of original sin. It started there and still here today. That's why we needed Jesus, right? So now, I want to start off by picking up with this scripture in Galatians. We left off there last week. We'll visit that again and continue. Galatians 1, 3 through 5. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's a light to our path. And Lord, we just praise you for that. And we pray today, Lord, that you will awaken us to your word, to the truth in your word. That, Lord, you will grant us the ability to grasp what you were speaking in your word here and in this series. And we just pray, Lord, that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary and step forth and reveal yourself in this word and put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this generation of evil is only going to continue for a season. It's only for a season. All right? Jesus did not come the first time to put an end to this generation. Did he? He came to set up a kingdom. And that kingdom he set up, he set about that kingdom and the people in that kingdom, talking about born-again believers, he said, to be in the world without being part of it. So, being in this world, part of God's kingdom is here on the earth now, but it's not supposed to be part of the world system. We don't have to look very far to figure out that there's a problem in the body of Christ right now, because the body of Christ is allowing the world system into the church. Am I telling you the truth? So, we are called to be in the world without being part of that world system. However, Jesus will put an end to this world system at a specific time in the future when he will come again in his glory. We're promised of that. It's prophesied. He is returning again. When we celebrate Advent at Christmas time, we are celebrating, yeah, he came, but we're celebrating looking forward to the second Advent as well. Because that is when sin will be conquered once and for all. The bruise that he put on Satan's head with his heel, and when he, see, Jesus He had the original phrase that Arnold Schwarzenegger stole. I'll be back. So, for this reason, Paul calls the current time this present evil age. The first time Christ came as a lamb to take away the sin of the world. We are all benefiting from that. If you're here today and you are truly a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, then you're enjoying the benefits of Jesus' first time he came. Lived for 33 and a half years on this earth. Knowing all of those 33 and a half years that he was going to die to pay the price for our sin. He knew the beginning from the end. When he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, giving his life as a ransom for sin, he knew your name and mine. Because he knew everything from the beginning to the end. That personalizes it for me. See, he died for me. He died for you. He died for you. He died for all of you. He died for everyone. What's sad is there's a small percentage of the people on earth that actually come to the place where they receive him and receive that gift of salvation. Contrary to what the world system believes, it's not the majority that goes to heaven. The majority goes to hell. And it's the minority that goes to heaven. The word is very clear about that. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Those are Jesus' words, so you can trust him. That's what he said. It's not what Pastor Wayne said. It's what he said. So, this whole idea that, and there's a lot of people that believe, well, we've got a loving God. He wouldn't actually send anybody to hell. Well, that's partly true. Because he didn't create hell for humanity. But when humanity chose sin, humanity chose hell. So those that reject Christ are not sent to hell by God, but they're sent to hell by their own rejection of Christ. He saves individuals within this world, but he does not take them out of the world until the rapture comes. That's what's tough. You and I got to live in this evil-ridden world. And it's not easy. It's getting tougher and tougher, isn't it? And I know there's been tough stretches in the past. It was not easy a couple thousand years ago when Christ came, either. But we are entering into another season of evil really rearing its ugly head. And personally, I believe that this time this is happening the way it is because we are living in the last days. How long those last days are going to go, I don't know, and no one else does. So when they try to put a date on something, tune them out. Because the word says, no one knows. Only the Father. Only the Father knows. When that trumpet is going to blow and he comes back to rapture his bride out. It'd be all right with me if it was tomorrow. Yeah, right now. So, he preserves the redeemed in the world during this age. So what we're saying is, God, in Christ, is preserving us until that time of his return for his bride. He's preserving us. Guys, that gives me hope. No matter how hard it gets, no matter what we go through in this life, he has preserved us and reserved us for the time of his return. He preserves the redeemed during this age, and 1 Peter 1:5 says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Shielded by God's power. That's the word of God, my friends. We don't realize it when we're going through hard things, but we are being shielded by God's power, or things might have been much, much worse. I just came through in my own personal life a couple of months that were pretty rough. I'm going to level with you. About 2 weeks in after that surgery, I wasn't feeling it, man. I wasn't feeling the shield. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm being honest. Now, saying that, I'm not saying I ever gave up on God or gave up my faith. That didn't happen. But I wasn't feeling very shielded. Because it seemed every time I turned around, something else went wrong. So I'm telling you that to help you, because sometimes you might end up in a situation like that where you're not feeling it, but you just got to lean on your faith that is rooted in Jesus Christ to carry you through when you're not feeling it. See, that's why we're not supposed to depend on our feelings. Our feelings will lead us astray. Yeah, yeah. So, my point is this. Whether we feel it or not, God is shielding us. We are being shielded. He will come again to judge the world. And he is a righteous judge. Now, I'll admit, there's times in life where things that come out of my mouth, I'm trying to help them when that time comes. Well, you know, Lord, this would be a real good one to smoke and do it soon. Now, I'm just being honest. Raise your hand if you're honest enough to admit you've been there. There you are. All right, let's be real. This is church. That's just real. Now, mind you, we don't have the freedom to judge, right? But there's that weakness. There's that weakness in us. So we have that promise. He's coming again to judge the world. Those that are in the world system. That are part of the world system. Let's read Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, if you'd turn with me. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Beginning to read in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I want to stop there a second. I want to point something out. I've made this statement quite a few times, over the years, and I just made the statement again today, that hell was not created for man. Amen. It was, and right here, I just read it. He said, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It didn't add man to that. Man ended up there because of sin. But it was created for the devil and the fallen angels. It's right there in God's word. Just wanted to point out, there it is. That's why I make that statement fairly regularly. And I usually, when I make that statement, as I'm scanning the crowd, I'll get them narrow-eyed looks like, "Boy, I don't know about that." You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this long enough, I can read the people a little bit, you know. Not a mind reader, that's for sure. But I have stayed at a Holiday Inn. That's it, I'm going to leave it alone now. I don't want to wear it out. So, there we are. "For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There are two places. Are you on the left or are you on the right? Which one is it? Are you on the left or are you on the right? It makes a huge difference what your standing is. We just read it. Jesus also said elsewhere, "Away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you," he said in Matthew. He said to the righteous, "Enter my rest. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter my rest." I long to hear those words. I long for all of you to hear those words. As a pastor, that's a big part of my mission, is to prepare people for Christ. So that they're prepared. This will be the completion of the age, often wrongly stated as the end of the world. What's coming is the end of an age, not the end of the world. That's wrongly stated all the time. When this present age is completed, there will be a new age. There will be another age. This is designated as the age coming, meaning the next life, in contrast to this age. See, there's a day coming. It tells us in Revelation where there will be no more weeping. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. There will be no more death. And there's more in that list. But it's going to be bliss. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. At that time, our human bodies will be changed, and so will the whole universe. Everything will be changed when we enter that new age. Turn with me, if you will, or listen closely as I read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 through 17. Thessalonians 4, verses 14 through 17. Here we go. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together. This is where the word rapture comes from. People have a problem with the word rapture because it's not in the Bible. The word rapture means caught up. Don't get hung up on that. Caught up in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever and ever. And ever. Powerful, powerful passage. It's read almost constantly at funerals because there's the hope. The dead in Christ will rise first. The graves are going to open first. And then those who are alive in Christ will rise to meet Him in the air. I was at a pastor's conference one time years ago, and we were talking about this passage, and the pastor sitting across from me said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, my church is going to be the first ones up in the rapture." Yeah. I said, "Brother, that's kind of prideful." He said, "No, you don't understand. I'm talking about where it says the dead in Christ will rise first. So I guess it wasn't right then. We make assumptions, don't we? I had to hear the rest of the story. I said, I'm sorry, brother. Romans 8, 19 through 23. Romans 8, 19 through 23. Powerful, powerful passage. Beginning to read. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. This is alluding to what we just read in Thessalonians. Our new resurrection body that we receive when we come out of the grave, or when we are transformed and rise to meet those in the air, we're going to leave this old flesh body from behind, and we're going to rise with a resurrection body just like Christ has. See, this is all good news in spite of the fact that we are living in an evil world. God has had a plan from the creation to redeem humanity and deliver us from all of this when the time is right. So, creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And then what? Brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Oh my gosh. And Paul says, hey, wait a minute. We know that the whole creation has been groaning. Have you been groaning? I've got my share of it. And I'm a pastor. Let's face it, sometimes we grunt and groan over things. Every time I see something that our fine leaders have done again, I go, might as well be honest. I think that's groaning, isn't it? Can't believe they did that. Can't believe it. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, I want to tell you something. It's like the pains of childbirth I was with my wife in the delivery room four times when she gave birth to children. She did more than groan, man. She screamed. At me, too. I was trying to encourage her, and she said, "Just shut up!" She didn't only take a swipe at me, she got the nurse a good one, too. With Jeremy, the nurse was in there trying to encourage her, and she said, "You're just doing wonderful." And she said, "You're saying that because you're up there and I'm down here." So if it's like childbirth, man, I don't know. That's more than groans in my mind because of what I've seen four times. See, my wife didn't have the blocker in her spine. She went through it in the traditional way. How many of you moms did that? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well worth. Jerry said it was well worth the money.
I almost met mom. I almost lost her to the anesthesiologist.
I don't know. Somehow I got a whole ring. Actually, in light of the fact that it's Mother's Day, I think we're going to break right there and pick up where we left off next week. I want to turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, and read that. It says, Paul says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also." And obviously this is written to Timothy, it's 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this to Timothy. We're talking about the faith of Timothy's grandma and the faith of Timothy's mom. You know, mothers, they are just wired different than men. I was thinking about this morning early. I always wake up really early. So I was thinking about the service and Mother's Day. And I was thinking about my wife. You know, moms, it's just in them. God put it in them to make sure everybody's needs are met. Now, I would come home from work and I'd be famished after a 12-hour day or 14-hour day. And I'd sit down at the table and I had no clue what was going on around me because I was going after the whole day. Meanwhile, the kids were little. We got the five of us around the table. My wife, she's up and down out of her seat, getting everything else for everybody else. I think she went for years without ever having a warm meal. Because by the time she actually sat down and ate, it was cold. And if you go back far enough, early on, we didn't even have a microwave to heat it up in. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know, maybe your mom was like that. Never ate a hot meal for years. She says, making sure everybody had. And if it happened that there wasn't enough, she was the one that went without or only took a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? God made moms like that. I'm thankful for that.
Right.
When I was a teenager and working, sometimes on the weekend I'd work all night at Eagle, work nights. I was considered part-time, but sometimes they had me work all night on a Friday night or something, and I'd come home, and my mom would have the table all set, breakfast ready to go. Now, some people say I was spoiled. I'm just telling you what my mom did. She would have my vitamin next to my plate. Everything was ready to go for me, and she would serve me my breakfast. Amazing. I didn't think a lot about it then because she just always did that. But I'm older now. And when I think about those things, I realize, wow. Wow. How much things have changed. Now our schools have to serve breakfast because mom don't do it. Am I telling the truth? So those are just some thoughts I have, and I'm so thankful for moms that are godly moms, and they're still functioning like that, and loving and serving their family, and living out their faith before their family, because it makes a huge difference. Now, my mom didn't know Christ at that point, but they were pretty moral people. You know, my parents. They didn't know Christ at that point. But they were moral at least. So can we pray, and then Pastor Jim, if you will help me, like you have in years past, I'll have the moms come forward and get your rose as a token from this church of honoring you as a mother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the word that we have looked at today. Thank you for this mini-series that you stirred up in me. I just pray that you will bless this word and seal it in our hearts. And Lord, we pray also as we think about moms, and we honor moms today. I just pray that you will restore that spirit, your spirit of motherhood, unto moms again today. That, Lord, you will restore the family unit that the enemy has been so effective at destroying. That, Lord God, you will reveal yourself through moms that know you. And we thank you for it, Lord. Now, Lord, as we hand out flowers as a token, Lord God, we just pray that you bless every one of the moms here today. In Jesus' name, amen.